From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Zoe Gruskin with a statewide and local news update. The Alaska House chose Nome Democratic Representative Neil Foster as its temporary speaker today. Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer announced the result.
So with a vote of 35 yeas, 4 nays, Representative Foster has been elected Speaker Pro Tem of the House.
Eagle River resident Sharon Jackson was then sworn in as representative, but the House didn't take any other action on the third day of the session. Representatives haven't agreed on a permanent speaker or on who will serve in the majority caucus. Foster says he hopes the majority will be announced in the next few days.
There is a proposal on the table right now in terms of, how something might work, but there's been so many proposals going back and forth that, until it happens, you don't know.
The House can't form committees or start work on bills until there's a majority. Foster was elected after Big Lake Republican Representative Mark Newman lost a vote to be temporary speaker, 19-20. Foster says he will have limited powers as the temporary speaker. Primarily, he'll be able to take nominations for the permanent speaker. He says House members are discussing whether to invite Governor Mike Dunleavy for the State of the State address. Despite the partial government shutdown, some U.S. Forest Service staffers are still working on a plan for a large timber sale in southeast Alaska. Those who oppose the logging are worried their concerns aren't visible enough during the shutdown, leaving them to wonder how the agency can keep up with the public record when it's not fully staffed. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, or SEAC, opposes a federal timber sale that could take place on Prince of Wales Island. The group wanted to file its objections by the December deadline and managed to submit its complaints the day before the government shutdown. Buck Lindekugel, SEAC's attorney, assumed the proceedings would be on ice. After all, dozens of Forest Service staff in Alaska aren't receiving a paycheck, and many of them aren't even at work.
We were surprised that there was any activities going on with the Forest Service, particularly with this controversial timber sale.
According to the Forest Service website, work that should be prioritized during a government shutdown includes protecting public safety and assets. For example, there's avalanche forecasting still happening in the Chugach National Forest. On Prince of Wales, some Forest Service employees are responding to a recent landslide. And on Tuesday, SEAC received an invitation confirming another thing. Forest Service staff are continuing to work on the timber sale SEAC objected, and the project is seemingly on schedule. The Forest Service plan to hold a public meeting next week in Kluwak to address the objections to the plan. Basically, another milestone that moves the process along. But there's no notification of it on the agency's website. Lindekugel says there's also another thing missing.
So 1, 2, 3.
He tallies up the people who've submitted some kind of objection. Their names are visible from the Forest Service website, but not the content of their objections.
The way for the general public to participate in this process is to go onto this page, click on those objections, and see what the problems people have with this proposal. And they can't.
Lindekugel says it makes it difficult for his organization, too. How do you prepare for a meeting that's a week away when you don't have all the information? Owen Graham, the executive director of the Alaska Forest Association, says that's not an issue for him.
There's not an opportunity to sit around and talk with the other objectors and horse trade or bargain.
Graham represents a timber industry group. He has objections to the Forest Service plans, too. He doesn't object to the sale itself, but he wants to see a different version of the sale go through. So he's glad things are moving along, and he wants the meeting in Kluwak to happen.
They delay these objection meetings, and it'll be that much longer until we get a timber sale, and there's a greater risk that people will be out of work because of it.
The Forest Service did send Buck Lindekugel the other objections this week after he requested them. Still, he believes important documents are slipping through the cracks that would inform a public meeting.
Call a timeout on this damn thing. Slow down. There's no need to rush ahead. Go back, push the clock back to where it was before the shutdown occurred.
Finally, on Thursday, Lindekugel received yet another email from the Forest Service. It said next week's objection resolution meeting in Kluwak is canceled. It didn't give a reason why or provide another timeline. A spokesperson for the Forest Service says they'll update the website about other happenings on Prince of Wales Island soon. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
A new Blood Bank of Alaska location celebrated its grand opening today in Juneau. The region has been served by mobile blood donation centers in the past, but this is the first permanent center in the region in years. KTOO's Adeline Baxter stopped by during the soft opening last week.
If you want to donate blood at the new facility, you can call or make an appointment online. Or you can do what I did and just show up. Even though I've donated blood dozens of times before, I still have to look away when the needle goes in.
I just don't watch it.
I do not love the sight of it. Yeah, there it goes. I think the finger prick is definitely the worst part, though.
Wesley Dahlgren, Director of Collections and Recruitment for the Blood Bank of Alaska, is nice enough to sit down for an interview while I donate a pint of blood. He's based in Anchorage, but he's in town to help get the new facility up and running.
What was sort of the impetus for opening?
Well, getting a foothold down in the southeast. Juneau's a large population base in the state capital. So we are Alaska's blood center, so getting the state capital involved is kind of paramount.
The Blood Bank of Alaska collects, processes, and distributes blood throughout the state. Bartlett Regional Hospital doesn't have a contract with the Blood Bank of Alaska, but a few other southeast hospitals do.
Where will my blood go today? Will it be sent to a sort of a main donation center?
Your blood tonight will get sent via Alaska Airlines back to Anchorage, and it will get processed, and the components in your blood will get basically be broken down. And then that blood will get shipped as needed throughout the state.
It takes up to 2 days for blood to be screened before it can go out into the supply network. Once there, it has a shelf life of about 40 days. A donor can only give blood every 2 months, thus the need for a constant fresh supply.
So do you know what your blood type is?
I'm O, but I can never remember if I'm O positive or negative. Which one's the universal?
O negative is a universal donor, so that can be given to every blood type, basically. O positive is the most common blood type.
I think I'm O positive.
And that's my blood type as well. But I can tell you right now that O positive is the most transfused blood. It's about 38 to 40% of the population. But again, only 38% of the population is eligible to donate. Mm-hmm. So we always need O positive.
Dahlgren says hospitals in remote towns like Bethel, Nome, and Barrow keep a small supply of O negative on the shelf since they can't store large quantities. But they need donors of all other blood types, too. Dahlgren says only about 2 to 3% of Alaskans donate blood. That's a lot less than the number of hospital patients who need it. And all that blood has to come from volunteer donors. There's no substitute for human blood. After about 7 minutes, the machine beeps like I've just leveled up in an 80s arcade game. That means I'm done. A tech bandages my arm and puts my blood bag in a freezer. Dahlgren congratulates me on a quick and mostly painless donation. I'm invited to stick around for a few minutes and have a snack.
You know, a lot's changed in blood banking in the last few years, but cookies have not changed, and we want people to replace their fluids and get some of that blood sugar back up.
On top of that, I have an excuse to take it easy for the rest of the day. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
The hours for the Juneau Donation Center are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Alaska's Attorney General and two of the state's congressional representatives are calling on a federal appeals court to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA. The 1978 law is designed to keep Native children with their family members or within Native communities if they're up for adoption or removed from their home by state welfare agencies. Last year, the law was struck down by a U.S. District Court judge in Texas. The judge ruled it unconstitutional, saying it discriminates against non-Native Americans. That ruling is currently being appealed. Alaska Attorney General Kevin Clarkson joined attorneys general from 20 other states in filing a brief on Monday in support of the law. On Wednesday, Senator Lisa Murkowski and Representative Don Young filed a similar brief, along with five congressional colleagues. Both briefs state ICWA is constitutional and an important tool to protect Native rights. And the U.S. Postal Service has scrapped a pilot program that aimed to find cheaper ways to deliver goods and mail to northern Alaska communities. It had been planned to launch on Tuesday and operate for a year to deliver bypass mail and non-priority mail to the North Slope hubs of Dead Horse and Utqiagvik. It's 29 degrees in Juneau at the Juneau International Airport, mostly cloudy.